Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. And after, what, an 11-day layoff, an 11-day break for Indiana, they are back at it tonight at 7 o'clock to take on Illinois, the restart of Big Ten Conference play. And the more you read on Illinois, the more you think this is a game that Indiana should not only win, but really have its way with to a certain degree. This isn't going to be a mid-major, lower-level type opponent coming into Bloomington. But boy, this Illinois team has had some struggles throughout the season, including in their last game, a home game where they lost an unexpected game to a mid-major type team in overtime. So Indiana back tonight, and from this point forward, it gets very difficult, especially over the next two and a half weeks for IU in the Big Ten, with the next game after tonight being on the road at Michigan over the weekend and some other big road games and Big Ten conference games in there, some at home, but a lot of them on the road coming up over the next couple of weeks. So an interesting time coming for Indiana. We kind of waited through this holiday break, missing basketball, wanting to see the Hoosiers back out there in action. Tonight you get it, and it gets very fast and furious after this point. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honeybaked Ham. Segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the Illinois game tonight. We'll tell you all about what to expect from Illinois, which has been lackluster so far this season. We'll also give an update on the NBA draft, the big board updated by Sports Illustrated. Romeo, obviously, up high, maybe not as high as he was, but he's still within the top 10 of the Sports Illustrated big board, at least, for the NBA draft. So I'll talk some about that. And we have an update from yesterday. Archie Miller had a press conference availability before the weekend games, the one tonight against Illinois, the one against Michigan coming up on Saturday. And he gave some updates on different things. Specifically, what I want to pull from that is the IU injury situation. We'll take a look at some of the guys, Race Thompson, Jerome Hunter, Zach McRoberts, Rob Fennessy, all guys that are battling injuries right now. So we'll talk about that in the headlines today as well. Also, segment two today, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with me as normal on Thursdays as we get back to a regular schedule. Now that the holidays are behind us, our segment with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports. We'll talk IU Illinois. We'll talk some other topics as Indiana restarts Big Ten play for the rest of the way with Alex when he joins us later today. Also, it's Thursday. I'm without Lee Kelly today. He'll be back with me next Thursday. But in the second half of the program, at least the final segment, we always do our Southern Indiana basketball update. It's a weekly segment, a fast-moving segment, where we highlight a lot of the happenings in high school basketball with teams in Clark and Floyd County. Big performers, big games this week, player of the week. We kind of keep you posted with a little bit of everything, and we'll do that. I'll do that later today as we wrap the show up here on this Thursday. That's the lineup for today, presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. The line tonight, and again, it's a 7 o'clock game. It means 6 o'clock we'll have the pregame right here on the Big X with Don Fisher and crew. But the line tonight, at least the last I saw it, IU an 11.5-point favorite over Illinois. KenPom picks IU to win by 12 points, and the Sagarin ratings has IU probably at the biggest advantage I've seen of any of the computer models. They have Indiana winning the game at 14 points. This Illinois team has been dismal, to be quite honest. 4-9 overall. They had two early Big Ten games, as did IU and everyone else in the conference. They lost both of those games. And I tell you what, Underwood, Coach Underwood, Archie Miller, and Ohio State coach Chris Holtmann, who I've talked a lot about the rivalry that I think is brewing between Holtmann and Archie and IU and Ohio State. But those guys were all hired in the same year, the same time. And all three hires were highly written about, highly thought of by national media covering college basketball, that the Big Ten just got a lot better with some great young coaches. And of those three hires at the same time, basically in the same offseason, we know what Chris Holtmann did. He got things started even earlier than expected at Ohio State, as they had a terrific season a year ago when the discussion heading into the season last year was how they were short scholarship players and it was going to be a rebuilding situation for the Buckeyes. Well, Chris Holtmann did what he did at Butler. He got things going very quickly and was able to get his footing off on a very solid ground. Archie Miller, not that type of success on the court, but you can just tell from recruiting and from improvements with various areas that have been a struggle for IU for a number of years now, there are constant improvements being made. And, of course, this year on the court, I think you can clearly see even more some of the new direction that Archie Miller has IU going. You can't say the same, at least at this point, with Brad Underwood. Not only have there been some ill records, some bad records on the court last year. I mean, we mentioned yesterday with Jeff Rabjohns, kind of a Chicago Sun-Times column story quoting high school coaches that Coach Underwood hasn't been to Chicago high school basketball games when many other schools have. And really, in fact, quoting AAU coaches and high school coaches with their concerns. And I've never seen a piece like that before calling out a Division I coach. So obviously things on the court aren't going great with that type of record, 4-9 this year, 0-2 in Big Ten. There have been some off-the-court things as well with the Illinois team and that story I'm talking about specifically about recruiting and where Coach Underwood has been and where he hasn't been that obviously have been negative, to be quite honest. So we'll see if he can turn it around. Tough year to do so, I think, with the roster that Illinois has, but we'll see what the future looks like for the Fighting Illini. Illinois, by the way, was 14-18 last year. And if you take a look at their schedule, and they're actually projected now as the worst team in the Big Ten. I knew things weren't great in Champaign. I didn't really realize how bad things were until I started reading into this thing a little bit more. But they're behind Rutgers in a lot of the projections that are out there as far as Big Ten standings, Big Ten projections for this season. Now that we're at the January 1st, the new year period where conference play starts. As far as Illinois tonight, names, we always try to give you some names, a little overview of each team that Indiana plays. Three players for Illinois averaging double figures: Trent Frazier, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, Ayo Dosunmu, I think is how it's pronounced, not correct on that, and another senior, Aaron Jordan. So sophomore Frazier, freshman Dosunmu, and senior Aaron Jordan are the three that are in double figures or have been so far in their averages. 15.9 for Frazier is his average. 11.9 points per game for Dosunmu for the freshman is for his average. And 10.8 points per game is the average for Aaron Jordan, the senior. Those are the three main ones that you'll probably hear tonight in the game against Illinois for IU as far as for the Illini side of things. So obviously it's a team that comes in, and before you get ready to go to Michigan, I think you probably appreciate, if you're Indiana, the opportunity to play it at home and to play a team that does have plenty of struggles like Illinois to get ready and get another win under your belt. If Indiana can get a win tonight, it puts them at 12-2 on the season. It puts them at 3-0 in the Big Ten play. And, of course, coming up after that, a very brutal stretch for Indiana. Four out of five games on the road forthcoming, including at Michigan on Saturday, at Maryland, Nebraska at home, at Purdue, and at Northwestern. Just a really tough stretch for IU. So I think this game is equally important, not just because it's a winnable game, but because of what's forthcoming. You just can't slip up in the Big Ten this year with teams that you're favored to beat, especially like an Illinois or like a Rutgers. You've got to win those games and move on to the next challenging thing with that win under your belt. A couple other things. Archie Miller, I mentioned earlier, recapping some stuff yesterday in advance of IU's two Big Ten games this week. Main thing to take away from that, I thought, was an update on the injury situation. Still no update at all on Race Thompson or Jerome Hunter as far as if they'll return, when they'll return. Race Thompson battling concussion injury. Obviously, it was a severe concussion, and we only know that because of the length of time that he's been out and unavailable for this team. Jerome Hunter, obviously something fairly serious. No one knows details, but he is still off and no real sign or talk about when he could return. And I think at some point you have to wonder, is he going to miss the entire season? Is a redshirt possible for him? Or will they try to bring him back later into the year when maybe there is a chance? So going to be interesting to see, but no update on either of those guys. You've got to think that Race Thompson at some point is going to come back. I mean, I know concussions can be very serious, and he obviously had a very severe concussion for the length of time that he has been out, but you wouldn't think it would keep him out for the entire season. But my goodness, it's been a lengthy time now that he's been out for this Indiana team. Zach McRoberts, Archie Miller, saying that he could play tonight against Illinois. He has been practicing with the team since the team got back together after the holidays to get ready for this opening stretch of Big Ten games. And Rob Phinisee likely will not play tonight. At least it didn't sound that way based on what Coach Miller said. Didn't really sound like he would play not only tonight against Illinois, but probably not the Michigan game either. But he did say he is progressing, getting better, but it's not practiced. And I mentioned when I was in Bloomington on Saturday for something at Assembly Hall, I just happened to see Rob Phinisee bundled up, walking through the parking lot going into to Cook Hall. So he's obviously out walking around, and it sounds like now he's been at practices, he's been shooting, he's been going through some stuff, but not likely not going to play tonight. And it didn't sound like, and again, he didn't confirm this, but it didn't sound like Michigan would be a game that he would play in either. NBA draft board has been updated. This is version 3 by Sports Illustrated. They do a pretty good job tracking everything, talking with NBA scouts and people involved. The latest draft board out, and again, this is the third update since the college basketball season has began. Romeo Langford at number 7 in the 2019 draft, according to Sports Illustrated, set for June. And here's the little paragraph that goes along with Romeo on the board. It says, quote, "In spite of a highly inconsistent three-point shot, Langford has been consistently solid scoring the ball and lived up to the billing, helping lead a resurgent Hoosiers team. He's skilled, smooth, and has a nice level of scoring craft, confidently using the glass while attacking the basket and converting at an impressive clip inside the arc. While Langford's shooting mechanics from distance are a concern, the fact that he's a good pull-up shooter and has been mostly steady from the foul line suggests there is room for improvement. Wings with his athleticism and body type who can consistently create offense are valuable commodities, and if he can simply become a consistent set shooter, it will go a long way." That's the little recap that was along with his number 7 rating at this point on the draft board. Couple changes on the board. Zion Williamson at Duke is still number 1. No change there. No change at 2. RJ Barrett is still number 2. But here's a real player, and I have not seen him. I've heard good things about him. But at number 3 on this 2019 draft board is Jamorant from, and I guess that's Ja Morant from Murray State. He's a sophomore. He was 10th in the last big board that was out from Sports Illustrated. He's up to number 3 now, and the recap of him calls him probably the best point guard in this draft class, and he's really improving. Cam Reddish is 4th. He was previously 3rd. Kevin Porter out at USC, a freshman as well. He is now 5th. Nasir Little, North Carolina, freshman as well. He is 6th, and then Romeo 7th. So, and right behind him is, just FYI, Darius Garland at Vanderbilt, the point guard freshman as well, who's out for the season with an injury. But that's a look at where Romeo's at. So for everybody that thinks and holding out hope that Romeo is around in Bloomington for 2 years. If he's in that 7, 6, 5, anywhere in that lottery, hard to see that he doesn't take that money, that opportunity, and go. You never know, but I think that's the general thought out there. That and I would be surprised to see him drop much further than 7, if not even rise a little bit if he has some big games here in the Big Ten Conference and maybe in the NCAA tournament as well. But Romeo Langford, number 7 in the Sports Illustrated draft board. There's a lot of these boards out there, but Sports Illustrated, there's a couple that you pay attention to more than others. The writers have good connections. They're in contact with guys in the NBA that are watching these players and evaluating these players for the different teams and franchises. So I like where he's at right now at number 7 for the 2019 draft class. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. And I saw Phil Caldwell, the owner of Hoopsters, inviting all former Jeffersonville and New Albany players to Hoopsters after the big rivalry game on Friday night. I know in past years it's been a fun environment for former Bulldogs and former Red Devils to kind of relive the connection and the rivalry between each other, debate out some of the past games and big performances and victories by both teams. So that will always be a lot of fun. We hope to see a lot of those former players at Hoopsters on Friday night after the big New Albany at Jeff game, which, by the way, we will carry right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll get ready for IU basketball tonight. Finally back in action after an 11-day layoff. They will host Illinois. We'll break down that game. We'll talk Romeo Langford. We'll do a lot more with Alex after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is my guest. The segment with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome. And, of course, racers always welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, finally, IU basketball is back. Seems like a long break, longer than what I can remember in past seasons. And now that IU basketball is back, it's going to be of the Big Ten style with conference games the rest of the way. And when the ball tips tonight in Bloomington, this is one I think Indiana absolutely has to get at home over a struggling Illinois team, because as you've written and I've discussed, lots of tough ones, including many tough ones on the road just ahead for this Indiana program.
Yeah, you make a good point, Matt. I mean, that every game from here on out is important, and it's important for Indiana, obviously, to get some marquee wins on its resume to help with its tournament seeding, but it's also important that Indiana avoids a bad loss, and fortunately, the Big Ten this year is good enough to where there's not very many games that would be considered a bad loss. However, they do play 4 games total against Illinois and Rutgers, and I think any of those 4 games, if Indiana were to lose one of them, would probably be looked at in a negative light in terms of NCAA tournament seeding. And as you mentioned, they play Illinois tonight. That one's at home. I think KenPom gives Indiana an 88% chance to win. I think it's their highest projected win percentage the remainder of the season. So this is definitely goes in the column of game that Indiana needs to win. But I don't think anything's going to be easy from here on out. Illinois is obviously a team that has struggled to this point, but it's not a team that's devoid of talent. It's not a team that's devoid of, a a coach that's capable of doing some things that can potentially lead his team to victory. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. It's obviously one, as you mentioned, Indiana should win, but you can't take anything for granted from here on out. There's going to be no gimmies on the schedule.
I did not realize, and again, you I think did a nice job of saying Illinois is not void of talent. They have some players that are Division I players. I guess I didn't realize until the last couple days, beginning to read more about Illinois, of course, seeing their loss in overtime to a smaller level Division I team at home. Yesterday I talked about some of the off-the-court things, a piece in the Chicago paper about Coach Underwood's lack of visibility and recruiting in the Chicago big high school circuit there. I didn't realize things were in bad shape, and I read your preview of the game today. Archie Miller, Chris Holtman, Brad Underwood, all hired in the same offseason. Two of those coaches, Chris Holtman and Archie Miller, are off and running with rebuilding and getting their programs to the levels that I think fans expect, while Brad Underwood is having some severe issues, it looks like, at Illinois.
Yeah, and I don't know that this is going to be a true picture of what Illinois basketball is going to be moving forward under Brad Underwood. But I do have some questions on how his style is maybe going to translate at this level. If you don't know much about his career, you know, he spent a long time at Stephen F. Austin, was really successful there, and spent 1 year at Oklahoma State and had a really good season there that kind of springboarded him into the Illinois job. But, you know, his style of play is really defense first. They like to pressure the ball a lot, go for steals, and it's not really a pretty style of basketball. And so I guess my question, and you mentioned the recruiting thing, there's been a couple stories. I think you mentioned the one, it was maybe in the Sun Times or the Chicago Tribune, where they basically were some high school coaches in Chicago, prominent ones, just kind of noting his absence at some holiday tournaments and some games that they feel like, I guess, maybe he should be at. So my question is, like, what players are they going to get moving forward that want to play that style? And I think the challenge for him becomes, you know, you kind of look around the Big Ten, right, where you can get players from. In Illinois, you know, obviously you got to go to Chicago and get some kids, but the surrounding states now are in much better shape in terms of the head coaching situations. I mean, Missouri's got Konzo Martin. He's going to do well recruiting that area. Indiana, obviously, Matt Painter and Archie Miller are going to do good recruiting the state of Indiana. Ohio, Chris Holtman. Michigan, you know, has obviously Tom Izzo and John Beilein. So my question for Illinois and where they go from here is just where they're going to get players, one, and how many guys are going to want to play that style of basketball. It can work at a Stephen F. Austin because you're recruiting a different kind of kid, but how many kids want to play that style that are, you know, ranked in the top 50, top 100? I think that's the biggest question he has to answer moving forward. I think he's a really good coach. I liked the hire from the beginning. I just don't think it's working so far with the personnel he has. So I'll be interested to see how he can change that moving forward.
And I highlighted some of the key performers, but anyone on Illinois stand out to you that IU needs to be extra careful with, extra strong with defensively tonight that fans might want to hear about their game and their name?
Yeah, Trent Frazier. He was really good last year as a freshman. I think he's improved even as a sophomore. Obviously, Illinois is not winning games, but I don't really think it's because Trent Frazier is not improved. I just think what's around him is not the greatest supporting cast. But, yeah, he's a guy that really hurt Indiana last year in the game in Champaign. That Illinois won. He's a guy that can really get going from the perimeter, but he can also put the ball on the floor and get to the rim. So I think it's he's obviously the key matchup. The other guy that I would kind of highlight is Aaron Jordan, who is a senior, capable three-point shooter, kind of a role player, but I think he's averaging something like 10 or 11 points a game, shooting in the mid-40s from three. I mean, that's to me the key tonight is, you know, don't let Illinois get comfortable from behind the three-point line. They're not going to be a team that's going to score much inside. They don't really have a guy they can throw the ball into and get buckets in the paint. And so you can't really let them get comfortable from the perimeter. And I think Frazier and Jordan are two guys that can kind of get on a roll at times. And so we'll see, you know, how it shakes out for Indiana tonight. The other thing, you know, I would mention is just the turnovers. Illinois is, I think, in the top six in the country in terms of forcing turnovers. And so Indiana is going to have some tonight just based on ball pressure. But when they do turn it over, they can't let it turn into dunks or layups at the other end. The live ball turnovers are really costly against a team like Illinois.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We know it's a very tough stretch, and really every night in the Big Ten, most seasons, is going to be very tough. But as Indiana re-enters conference play for the rest of the way, what are some areas that Indiana really needs, in your opinion, to improve on if they are going to compete for a spot near or at the top of the Big Ten down the stretch in February?
Yeah, I mean, we had an interesting conversation yesterday on our podcast. I'd encourage people to check it out. We had John Gassaway from ESPN.com, who's one of the more one of my favorite college basketball writers, really, because he uses numbers so much in everything that he writes, and he's always backing everything kind of that he puts out there with statistics. And we asked him the same question, kind of what, you know, can Indiana do moving forward to improve the most? And his answer is pretty much one that I think is spot on. I don't know that Indiana is going to make a huge gain with its free throw shooting right now. That there's been so much of the season played that the numbers kind of are what they are. But I think the one thing that you look at in their profile that they can get better at, and I think they will get better at, is taking care of the ball, the turnover percentage. And, you know, if they can, I think they're still over 20% on the turnover percentage. If they can get that down to the 16, 17% range, which is where they've been the last couple games on a consistent basis, that's the difference between, you know, a couple possessions a game where maybe you're hitting a three-pointer or you're scoring a bucket or getting to the line and knocking down some free throws. And I think if they continue to play these close games, those possessions are going to become more and more valuable. So I'll be interested to see how Indiana handles the pressure tonight against Illinois. They've had this long layoff. They know what's coming. They've had plenty of time to prepare. So how do the guards handle the pressure? What are their decisions like? I mean, Illinois is going to try to speed them up. They play, I think, something like the 45th fastest pace in the country. So Indiana cannot, you know, fall into the trap of kind of losing sight of what they want to do, which is kind of control the pace and play in the half court and only run when it makes sense. But I would say the turnovers are kind of the number one thing I'm watching, because I think Indiana kind of is what it is in terms of its shooting percentages as a team from three-point line. They're a really good two-point shooting team. Obviously, right now they're a top 20 defense nationally. And so I kind of think the key to reaching the ceiling is cutting down on the turnovers on a consistent basis.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. One of the things I want to bring up too, especially knowing that the Michigan game is looming on Saturday, a road game for Indiana. We know how good Michigan has been so far this season. I got to believe that if you polled IU fans, one of the things that makes them most nervous about this team is their ability to get out to slow starts out of the gate.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're playing one of the mid-major opponents from the non-conference schedule or lackluster Illinois in the Big Ten or on the road at a very talented Michigan team on Saturday. That's something to me that Indiana, if they are going to win some of these more challenging games, you've got to get off to a decent start. You can't find yourself in a hole against a really good team right out of the gate. So I assume that's something else we can add on to the list. It may not be able to be tracked by numbers or metrics or anything like that, but just kind of a common sense thing with this team that has haunted them, especially against some of those lower-level opponents where everyone expects them to win big and to cruise and to get to play different lineups and see other guys get playing time that maybe don't normally do so, but you got to get out to a good start for those things to happen, and they didn't always in the non-conference at least.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at the non-conference against the teams that they played that were good. The only team I would say that they got off to a good start against was Marquette, maybe. I know the Louisville game, they kind of played from behind the whole way. Butler was the same way. Penn State on the road, I think they were down something like 9-0 or 10-0. I mean, if they do that on the road in the Big Ten against good teams, they're going to be in trouble, especially teams like Michigan State, even going to a place like Purdue, if you let the crowd kind of dictate the atmosphere, and this is why Indiana's been so good at home, right, at Assembly Hall, because they get the crowd in the game early, and then it kind of snowballs on the opponent, but it works the opposite way when they go on the road, and some of these Big Ten venues are going to be really, excited to have Indiana come to town this year and kind of try to get under their skin as much as possible. So kind of the way you combat that is come out, have a strong start and take the crowd out of the game. And, I think the next chance we're going to get to see how Indiana responds to some adversity is obviously it could happen tonight against Illinois, but I think more likely against Michigan. Last year it was a situation where they went up there and kind of got blitzed from the beginning and weren't all that competitive, and it was really an ugly result. And if they go up there this year and kind of come out with the same, start that we saw, against teams like Louisville, Butler, and Penn State, they could be playing from behind and be in a really tough position. And that's just something you can't afford to do on the road if you want to win.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. This segment is always presented by CC Power Sports. Don't forget you can check out InsideTheHall.com. Lots of coverage about IU basketball from all angles, including some preview stuff on tonight's game you might find very interesting here on this game day. Alex, I want to talk a bit about Romeo Langford. I mentioned in the first segment today the Sports Illustrated draft board has been updated for a third time this season. Romeo dropped from number 5 to number 7, but still well within the lottery picks for this 2019 draft. Everywhere I go, I know it's the same for you. I know it's the same for anyone that follows this stuff. Everybody asks, do you think there's any chance if Romeo Langford, will return for a second year to get further in his academics, and maybe if he doesn't have some big games in the Big Ten Conference or whatever the case is? And my answer, for the little I know, has consistently been no. Romeo has always stated one of his goals is to be a pro, and if you're in the lottery and that is your goal, it doesn't make a lot of sense to turn down, at least if you're projected to be a lottery pick, that guaranteed money that you get as an NBA rookie, which can be life-changing no matter what your NBA career turns out to be like. So I'm going to pose that same question to you. As we enter the full Big Ten slate, we've seen Romeo now for a number of games. We've seen him have some big games. We've seen him just have some solid games. But he's always been consistent for IU, as I think a lot of us expected him to be. Is he definitely a pro after this year? Do you see any scenario outside of something horrific where there could be an injury or something like that, which everyone hopes nothing like that happens? But do you see any scenario where he is back for year two, or as you see these boards come out and he's at number 5, he's at number 7, he's at number 8, do you think that he's definitely a one and done?
I do think that he's definitely a one and done, and I don't really foresee a scenario where he would be back next season. As you mentioned, Matt, it's a question that you get often, I get it often. And the funny response I'll get sometimes on Twitter is, well, he doesn't look like he's ready, or he doesn't look like an NBA player right now. And the thing that people don't realize is the NBA is drafting on what you can become, what they can develop you into. That's why, a guy like Ethan Happ right now is not on any draft boards, because he's been in college for 4 years. He's a great college player, but his NBA potential is very limited in the eyes of executives and people that know the league. And that's why a guy like Romeo Langford, who's very much an unfinished product, but is oozing with potential, is maybe not as good of a college player as an Ethan Happ right now, but his potential is to be, maybe one day an NBA starter, an all-star, or who knows what the ceiling ultimately is. So, I agree with you. If you're going to be a lottery pick, and I would even say if you're going to be in the first round, you have to go, because, the chances of something of your stock improving significantly by coming back to school, if you're a lottery pick, maybe if you're the 8th pick this year and you come back and you're player of the year or something, you're the 3rd or 4th pick. But it's also a year, another year where you're not making a couple million. So I think the smart decision is, anytime you're going to be projected that high, is to go. And ultimately, I think for Indiana fans, as selfishly as they may want to see another Romeo year, they have to also remember that if Romeo comes into Bloomington, has a terrific experience, has a great year, and goes pro after 1 year, that's going to be something that the coaching staff can sell to future recruits and say, hey, you know, we took Romeo Langford. We helped develop him for a year, and he moved on to the NBA. Now we can do that for you also. Maybe you may not be a one and done, but, you know, 2 or 3 years, this is what we envision for you. So I think it's a bad thing for Indiana's program in terms of its future in recruiting if he is back for another season, because that means that things didn't really go as expected, because everyone expected him to be a one and done coming into the year. And I think that's what's exactly is going to happen. So I think that's what you have to root for. And, you know, it's a, you know, that's just the environment that we live in now with college basketball. Would it be great to see some of these guys on campus 3 or 4 years and getting their degree and playing out their whole career? It'd be a lot of fun to watch. But I think from a business perspective, when you're this good of a prospect, you have to look at kind of the full picture. And I think that all signs point to Romeo Langford being in the NBA next season.
And let me ask you, following up on that, he was number 5 in the Sports Illustrated board when it came out, I don't know, a month or two ago. He's number 7 now. Those can fluctuate a lot. I mentioned earlier a kid, a freshman or sophomore, I believe, from Murray State that just shot up to 3 maybe in their latest projection. So things can change a little bit. But he has been very solid across a lot of the people that are very good at projecting this stuff and talking to the people in the know that really know what's going on and what likely could happen. He's been very solid in all of these as a lottery pick, which I think is extremely impressive. Where do you see him potentially going? Do you have a feel on what you're hearing and what you're seeing on where he could go in the draft?
I mean, it's so hard to say because, you know, these mock drafts are put together basically in, you know, list order of kind of what everyone thinks in terms of the value of each prospect right now. But what we don't know is which teams are going to be drafting where. And I think that has a lot to do with it. If there's a team that, say, gets, you know, the 5th or 6th pick that really needs a scoring wing, obviously he's going to be near the top of the list. But if, you know, if the teams 5, 6, and 7 are looking for a point guard, they're not going to be as interested in Romeo. So, you know, I do think he's going to be a lottery pick, but I think a lot of it comes down to kind of two things. One, obviously the team that's picking and kind of if he fits what they're looking for, and two, how he plays the rest of the season. He needs to shoot the ball better from the perimeter. I think that's kind of the one thing that I consistently hear is, you know, can he shoot threes? And I'll have people ask me, did he make threes at New Omni? Well, you know, he made threes at New Omni. I think somewhere, Matt, you probably have the stats. I don't think he was a 40% three-point shooter in high school. I think he was probably somewhere in the 30s. But to me, he's always been more of a scorer than a shooter. And he can kind of get in rhythm and then knock down a couple in a row. But I don't think he's, you know, going to be a guy that goes in the NBA and shoots 40 or 45%. But he also can't shoot low 20s because there's just not a lot of guards in the NBA that are shooting that low of a percentage. And if you can't make threes consistently, the teams are just going to back off of you in the NBA and let you shoot and not drive to the basket. That's harder for college teams to kind of take that away from him just because he's so gifted and there's just not a lot of guys that can stay in front of him. So, but that changes at the next level. So I think it's all going to come down to who's picking where and what they need, and then how much can he show the second half of the season in terms of his perimeter shot, because I just don't think it looks great that he's shooting in the low 20s, and I think he can do better, and I think he will.
One more quick thing, Alex, and I've been corrected by a couple people. I keep saying Saturday is the Michigan game. It's on Sunday. I knew that. Right. I don't know why I've been saying Saturday, so my apologies. But let's jump ahead for just a second to that game. I do want to get your thoughts on a matchup with Michigan, since we won't have the opportunity to talk again until after that game. It's a tough one for Indiana. Michigan, I think, is really good. In fact, if I was going to project or pick my, for whatever it's worth, Final Four picks at this point of the season, I think I've got Michigan going to the Final Four, at least the best chance out of the Big Ten, I would say, to have NCAA tournament success. Talk a little bit about the IU-Michigan challenge for the Hoosiers being on the road and some of the great players they have that are performing so well this season.
Yeah, Michigan's been obviously a Big Ten power going back to, 2011, 2012, when Beilein really kind of got it rolling. They went to the championship game, obviously, in 13, lost to Louisville. But the thing that they've kind of changed, last season really is when they established it, and this season is kind of really a continuation of it. They were always good offensively, but now they've hired an assistant coach. His name's Luke Jaklich, who is kind of the defensive coordinator for their team. And he has really changed the way that they play defense. Michigan was always kind of just so-so defensively, and they would beat you with their offense. Now they're a defensive-minded team that can also play really well offensively. You put those two things together, and they're a top-five team in the country, no matter what metrics you look at. And I think the thing that you have to be concerned about from an Indiana perspective, just go back to the turnovers. Michigan's guards, particularly Xavier Simpson, just kind of chews up point guards who can't take care of the ball. And it doesn't sound like Rob Tennessee is going to be available. So there's going to be a lot on Devontae Green and Romeo Langford in this game in terms of taking care of protecting the ball. And then it's not just that they have good guards. They have John Teske, who's an excellent defensive player in the paint. They've got Charles Matthews, who's an experienced wing that can also defend. He'll probably, I would say, get the majority of the time on Romeo Langford. They just have a really good, solid team. I think they've got, you mentioned that SI list that came out earlier today. They've got the freshman, Ignis Brazdikas, who's, I think, 27th on that list of NBA prospects that came out. Jordan Poole's another guy that they have as a sophomore who really shined last year's NCAA tournament. So, they may not have a superstar on this team, but there's just a lot of solid players across the board. It's not an easy place to play. Going up there to Michigan, I think since I've been covering IU, at least going to road games, I think Indiana's only won up there once maybe, and that was the year they won the Big Ten and hit all those threes. But last year it was a pretty brutal performance up there, and it's not going to be easy this weekend. So Indiana's got to take care of the ball and make some threes. And, I guess the one thing that maybe could be looked at, and you can say Indiana has a chance to go up there and win, is, Michigan hasn't played well in recent weeks. They haven't really played anybody either. So this is, I think tonight is the first time they're going to play a top 100 team almost in a month. I think they play Penn State at home, and then they got Indiana coming in on Sunday. So, Michigan's kind of been, I don't want to say dormant, but, the last month they haven't really played too many competitive games. So maybe Indiana has a chance to go up there and jump on them early and make it a game. But it's going to be a really tough game. There's no question about it.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, thanks for the great chat today. Our segment with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Alex, again, thanks. We'll catch up to you very soon.
All right, thank you, Matt.
All right, we will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our Southern Indiana basketball update. Normally it's Lee Kelly and myself. Lee's out today, but I'll give you a full rundown of the top performers over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball. We'll take a look at this weekend as well. We'll take a look at the games. We'll tell you our game of the week, which is an obvious one with New Albany and Jeffersonville playing in a great rivalry contest on Friday night, and a lot more. Coming up next as we wrap up this Thursday show, it's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, we'll wrap things up with the Southern Indiana basketball update. It's a weekly segment we do, fast moving, to highlight a lot of the top performers and keep you posted with everything going on with high school basketball here in Clark and Floyd counties, especially as we get situated and ready for the weekend. And it's a big weekend. New Albany at Jeffersonville on Friday night is the game that steals all the headlines with that rivalry. But don't forget it, actually an opportunity to get out tonight and see some high school basketball. Louisville Ballard is at Floyd Central tonight. That's a girls-boys doubleheader. The boys game scheduled for about a 7:30 start tonight. Floyd Central remains number three in the state in Class 4A. They'll get the weekend slate of high school basketball started a night early tonight. Let's start off and take a look at some of the big performers over the last seven or so days of high school basketball here in the southern Indiana area. Zane Gross of Silver Creek, 24 points in a win over Providence, a very lopsided win. In fact, the most lopsided game that there has been in the championship of the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament, which has only been around for 58 years. So Zane Gross, a big performance to help Silver Creek, one of the seniors on that team. Cade Badger of Henryville, probably no one in our two-county area has had bigger scoring outputs than him this season. He had 29 points in a win over Waldron and followed up that up with 23 points in a loss to Providence Cristo Rey. Both of those games were part of the McKee Monk Invitational at Henryville High School, which Henryville came in second place in that game. Jeffersonville had a number of big point performers in their game against Indianapolis Crispus Attucks last Thursday night. You ask, how could you have so many 20-plus point scores in a game? Well, there was 90 points scored, 90-plus points scored by each team in the game. Jeffersonville losing a close one to Attucks, but Trey Coleman, he led the way with 29 points, one of his bigger point totals of the season. Jacob Jones as well, finding 26 points in that game. And Darren Starks, 20 points. That's the third time that he's had big numbers for Jeffersonville in some recent games. Also, TJ Proctor of Christian Academy, he had 22 points as Christian Academy fell in a close game to Salem as well. And again, that's a look at some of the scores, the top performers scoring-wise in the area over the last week or so of high school basketball. Let's look at the schedule this weekend. I mentioned Floyd Central hosting Ballard tonight, and of course everybody is aware of New Albany at Jeffersonville on Friday. Other big games, though, this weekend. Christian Academy of Indiana will host their rival Christian Academy of Louisville on Friday night. Charlestown is at Seymour as well. Clarksville at Providence. That's the town championship in the town of Clarksville. Eastern Pekin is at Silver Creek in a Mid-Southern Conference game. Floyd Central goes on the road at Cordon. New Washington is at Borden. And Rock Creek is at Cannelton on Friday night. Saturday's games, Clarksville back at it. They will play at New Washington. Jeffersonville at Christian Academy of Indiana. So a big weekend for both of those teams. Jeff has New Albany Friday. Christian Academy has Christian Academy of Louisville Friday. And then the teams hook up Saturday for that game. Louisville Male will take on Silver Creek on Saturday as well. That will be an interesting challenge for Brandon Hoffman's Dragons. They have had a really good start to the season at 9-1, but Louisville Male really good as well across the river in high school basketball. Madison is at Charlestown on Saturday night. Rock Creek will take on Louisville Moore on Saturday, and Shaw Memorial is at Providence on Saturday night in that contest. So a look at some of the big games. Obviously, the game of the week is New Albany at Jeffersonville. It's a Hoosier Hills Conference game. It's one of the best rivalries as far as high school basketball goes across the state of Indiana. The Bulldogs have had their way with Jeffersonville like many opponents in recent years, but this is a Jeff team that has an opportunity, and I think a lot of people at home might call them the favorite in this game. So I think it'll be a good one Friday. I would be surprised if the point margin, no matter who comes out on top, is not fairly close. And again, keep in mind, just like with New Albany Floyd Central, New Albany and Jeff very likely could meet again down the road with all the marbles on the line in the Seymour sectional. If you don't need any other reminders from me, I'll say it one more time. Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, New Albany, Seymour for the sectional will be a lot of fun coming up, and it'll be here in about, just under 2 months. It's hard to believe we're that close and into the high school season where we can already talk about the sectionals. That's going to wrap it up for this Thursday program. That's the Southern Indiana Basketball Update as well, which is a segment each Thursday on our program. Lee Kelly, normally with me on Thursdays. He'll be back next Thursday for the show and for the Southern Indiana Basketball Update as normal. Speaking of Lee Kelly, he's got the call Friday night of the New Albany at Jeff game. Be on the air about 7:05 with pregame coverage here on the Big X, and he'll have the full play-by-play call. I know tickets on sale tonight at New Albany from 6 to 7 p.m. If you're still trying to secure a ticket from the game, New Albany will have some for sale for 1 hour tonight. You need to enter New Albany High School at door 9, which is on the Vincennes Street side of the gymnasium. But I would be disappointed and fully expect a sellout for the New Albany Jeff game on Friday. So if you don't get a ticket or you just simply can't make it, we'll have the full coverage for you of that contest as well on Friday. Also, speaking of that game, you won't want to miss our show tomorrow. We'll have Jim Shannon of New Albany with us. We'll have Joe Luce of Jeffersonville with us as well. As always, when there's a big game, we'll talk on game day with both of the head coaches involved in that contest, and they are both kind enough to join us on game day tomorrow. So we'll have both of those coaches in addition to Jared Morris to recap the IU-Illinois game as well. Don't forget, we're here every weekday, 11 o'clock, with the Hoosier Report. You can catch the replay most days. It's available at 3 o'clock here on the Big X, and podcasting as well. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Apple Podcast. You can go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Point your browser to that address or download the SoundCloud app. You can also search for the Hoosier Report in Apple Podcast. It's a great way to go back and listen to a segment or a full show if you miss things. We get great numbers on our podcasting between all of our different outlets, and we very much appreciate those of you, whether you're listening live or to the replay or on podcast. We're glad you're with us no matter how you are listening. IU tonight, pregame show at 6 o'clock. That game tips off at 7 here on the Big X, and I'll be back with you Friday at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.